Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness which create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And if you like the content on this podcast, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That's a wonderful way to support the podcast. Now, we do have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sundays. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode here and there on another topic, something related to mental health. That is my background. I've been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. So we cover things like relationships, mood issues. We talk about meditation. We talk about mindfulness. We talk about healthy living. Basically anything and everything that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. Now, today being Tuesday, as I said in the intro, we are doing Tuesday Taoism. And again, for those of you who are totally new here, Taoism is based on a book written 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years. And it's a book of basically just ancient wisdom. It's written in ancient China. And it just had a tremendous impact on me the first time I read this book as a teenager. And I return to it every so often. And it always, always provides just amazing insight. So I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a series on this. And there's 81 chapters in the Tao Te Ching. We are up to chapter 67 this week. So keep in mind, I say this every week, this book has been translated hundreds, if not thousands of times. Every translation varies. You could pick up two English translations by two different authors and get two very different interpretations, which is interesting. So you can make quite a study of this text if you have the interest and compare different translations and see what you get out of it. The translation that I'm using for this series is one by a man named Stephen Mitchell. Throughout the years, I've read quite a few translations. This has always been kind of my favorite one. I just like how he put things across. So that's the one that I'm reading from. Just wanted to let you know that. In case you find one somewhere by a different author and you pick it up and it's like, man, this is nothing like what he was talking about in the podcast. Now you know why. Okay, so let's go ahead and read this and then we'll discuss it a little bit and see what we get out of this for our practice today. So this is chapter 67, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. Some say that my teaching is nonsense. Others call it lofty but impractical. But to those who have looked inside themselves, this nonsense makes perfect sense. And to those who put it into practice, this loftiness has roots that go deep. I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and in thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. Compassionate towards yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. And that's the end of the chapter, right there. This one is one of those that I would say is not a very nebulous or difficult to understand. It's actually very it's crystal clear, and there's not, to be honest, a whole lot of interpretation we need to do on this one. It's almost like he's speaking to you directly, right? And he's saying, look, some people have told me my teaching is nonsense. Others say it's lofty but impractical. Now, one thing that is interesting is I like how he says, and I love it, because he says this, I think, two or three times in the book. He makes this reference to looking inside the self, right? There's another line somewhere. As one of my favorite lines in the whole book. I've referenced it or alluded to it a few times here on the podcast, where he kind of rhetorically asks himself the question, you know, how do I know these things? Meaning, you know, the things that he shares in this book. And he says, because I look inside myself and see. And that's really the key thing, I think, that is so amazingly, I guess the best word for me, is just bright about this text, is that to me, I get a strong sense, and I hope you do as well, that as I read these words, you can feel the clarity that this person had, whoever wrote this, and how deeply they perceived the true nature of reality, of this universe, of ourselves, of living as a human being. And it's also interesting how I always make the connection for myself to, you know, Siddhartha Gautama, the founder of, or the original Buddha, which is just a word for awakened one. And he also, you know, according to the way the legend goes, that he, you know, was seeking, to end suffering for human beings. He wanted to know the root of suffering. And he tried a whole bunch of things. You know, if you read the history of Siddhartha Gautama, he tried, you know, a whole bunch of different practices. He trained with a bunch of yogis at the time, and he just always ended up frustrated, until he finally decided, you know, I'm going to sit down here under the famous Bodhi tree, and I am not moving until I get to the bottom of this issue of suffering. Now, supposedly, he sat there for seven weeks. I'm not sure. I have to go back and reread to refresh my memory. But the point is, he sat there and he did not move. And what was he doing, right? What was he doing? What? That's a very interesting question to me, is what was he doing exactly sitting there, right? And I think that when you just sit, and we talk about this sometimes, not me personally, but people when I go to the temples that I go to, Zen practice, as many of you know, I'm a Zen Buddhist myself. Many teachers I've heard say that, you know, the part of the purpose of the meditation is to develop this laser sharp concentration, right? It's just that you get so concentrated on just one thing. And for him, you know, again, according to what we read, it was this question about suffering, right? And he held on to the question so strongly, and he pierced it so deeply that eventually, you know, something happened in his mind, right? Something happened, and all his whole perspective about the nature of our reality was radically transformed. And we can call this, you know, we label it enlightenment. But the point is that he sat there and he found the answers just within himself. And I believe every human being has that capacity to do that. And you hear it here in this little chapter when he says, but those who have looked inside themselves, right? It says, but to those who have looked inside themselves, this nonsense makes perfect sense. And he goes on to say, and to those who put it into practice, this loftiness, has roots that go deep. Now, let's go into the three things that he has to teach in just a minute. Just let me pause here for a quick word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, you all, thanks for your patience. I am back. Let me just take a quick moment here, remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me with any questions, concerns, feedback, or if you have an idea, suggestion for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatetherreal@gmail.com. You can also, if you like, hop on over to YouTube, find my channel, Dreams Warp, same name. Find any one of the videos, doesn't matter which one, post a comment under it, say, hey, I just came over from your podcast, had a comment, question, concern, or suggestion. I could always respond to you there. I get notified right away. And I could respond to you there in the comment section of the YouTube video. You can also find me on Twitter. Again, same name, Dreams Warp. You could send me a message there. And you should follow me while you're at it. I do post things there regularly and retweet things that I think serve as nice reminders or nudges throughout the day to get you to, you know, focus on your breathing, focus on the present moment, focus on your practice. So make sure you follow me there to get that good stuff. And finally, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you are enjoying the content, I hope you could take a moment and leave a nice rating and review. That's another very nice way to support the podcast. I appreciate that. Okay, now, we're at chapter 67, and then we just got into the part where he says, I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These sound like such, like they don't sound like extraordinary things. They really, really don't. I mean, the very first one is simplicity. And I really, really like that. You know, when I was younger, I used to find things that were very intellectually complicated interesting, right? And I wanted to dig into it and sink my teeth into it and just dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And what has slowly happened as I've gotten older and I've done more and more meditation and more practice is that now I find myself gravitating more towards things that are taught in a very simple way. I like listening to those things. I like hearing those things. And, you know, he says here in this first line after he mentions those three things that he has to teach, he says, these three are your greatest treasures. And he says, simple in actions and in thoughts, you return to the source of being. Now, why is that? Well, here's the way I look at it. We have, as I've discussed here many times, sort of like different areas of our mind, right? We have where we have like what we call in mental health, you know, our higher cortical functions. This is like where we do a lot of our thinking, analyzing, planning, reasoning. We do long-term planning here. It's all the real intellectual stuff. We do a lot of our learning here. If you're in school, that type of learning, memorization. And this is our very intellectual mind, right? And this is, I think, especially nowadays, you know, in especially in Western culture, we tend to live most of our lives through this type of mind, right? We think everything to death, right? This is the area of our mind, by the way, that also can produce anxiety, you know, tension, that can, you know, worry, you know, is always thinking about the past, worrying about the future, you know, it's always plotting, planning, scheming. And it's a nervous kind of activity, right? It's always thinking. And when he refers to simplicity, I believe, as I interpret this, is that he is pulling focus away from that area and saying, you know what, stick to the simple. Stick to, simple in actions and in thoughts. So that's, again, you know, like I said about this chapter, it's pretty self-explanatory as I read it. And he says the second treasure is patience. He says, patient with both friends and enemies. You accord with the way things are. And that's another thing that we talk a lot about. Even I think in when we talk about things related to manifesting law of attraction, we talk a lot about resistance, right? We resist things that we hate. And we try to grab onto things that we like, and we end up finding ourselves in this kind of constant battle, right? To attract more of what we want, push away more of what we don't want. And this applies also to people, right? So when you take the approach of patience, I think what he is referring to there is you are less reactive, right? You are just less reactive to things that perhaps maybe annoy you, things that in the past would get you upset, would get you angry, would get you to retaliate, you know, it kind of causes these knee-jerk reactions. And that's something that I've been giving some thought to lately is how we react to our moment-to-moment experience, right? How we have these automatic kind of, they almost seem like programmed reactions. And of course, these are habits, right? Habitual ways of perceiving, of thinking, of feeling, and of behaving. And sometimes they get so repetitive and so ingrained that they start shooting out like a knee-jerk reaction. And so when he talks about patience, my sense there is he's talking about pulling away from that type of reactivity, that we're able to experience our moment-to-moment reality mindfully, in a stoic nature, and you're not as reactive to everything that happens. And he says that by doing that, you return to the source of being, right? Peace. And finally, he says, you accord with the way things are, which is also very similar to returning to the source of being. And finally, compassionate toward yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. And this is great. I love this line because I think, again, what I take from this is once again hacking away at the delusion of the separate self. That, oh, well, if I'm compassionate toward myself, doesn't mean I have to be compassionate with somebody else. Well, no. That when you find that you were able to be more compassionate, it's the same thing as we often hear a lot of, you know, lately, self-help people talk about self-love, how important that is, right? And when you're trying to attract more love into your life, you're trying to build loving relationships, it's very important to love the self, right? And in this case, I think he's talking about the same thing, is that the more you're able to develop compassion for the self, then just a side effect, a byproduct, naturally, the more compassion you show to yourself, the more compassion you're automatically going to show to others, because ultimately, they're all one and the same. So very, very nice chapter. Again, very clear, right? Not opaque in any way, shape, or form. I hope that you enjoyed it and you got something out of it that helps you in your practice today. Stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode. And I really, again, want to thank you for listening. And have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.